from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Drives this one way out there, and it's off the top of the wall and gone. And just like that, the Cubs take a 2-run lead. And this pop-up should end it. It's going to be Bodie at third to make the catch to end the ball game. So the Giants trailed, came back to tie, and then the big blow by Ian Happ in the top of the 10th to give the Cubs the lead, and then they hung on.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, that's all from NBC Sports Bay Area. The Giants lose 5-3. FP Santangelo, final pitch. Is on with us. I don't want to make people sit around for the tease for 20 minutes, though.
Yeah.
So let's pass it along, and then we'll get to FP. I mentioned that the Warriors have just signed another player, and they have. They have agreed to a 2-way NBA deal with Virginia's Rhys Beekman.
Huge.
Rhys Beekman is now a member of the Golden State Warriors and has 4 E's in his name. So that's very exciting.
Very exciting. A high motor guy, an elite defender out of the Virginia system. Very good on-ball defender. I like the pickup, Mark.
Well, that's what they said yesterday, that's what they needed. They need better defense in the backcourt next to Steph. And so maybe this is one step potentially toward that.
They also said they needed a big who can shoot. They got that in Quentin Post. And they also picked up a 3-and-D guy, Lindy Waiters III. Off-season over.
Okay. Boy, when they said we're going to improve on the margins, they weren't kidding.
Exactly.
It's like Farhan's running the Warriors over there right now. Anyway, final pitch with FP. Oh, so close to a 4-game sweep. FP, let's jump right into it, because Grandy, like, the young man is over here losing his hair because of Luke Jackson. What do we do? What do we do about Luke Jackson?
I don't know. He's not... He hasn't been good. I really don't know. It's been tough to watch. The other day was one of his worst outings ever. I think it was Thursday, where he was wild. He was bouncing everything. He was flying open, yanking his fastball across the zone. Doesn't have command. I'll tell you this, just in general, if you're a slider, curveball, off-speed pitcher, and you're not throwing those for strikes, I don't have to respect him. So as soon as I see rotation out of your hand, I know it's an off-speed pitch. I know it's not going to be a strike. So if you don't throw it for a strike early in the count, I don't have to respect it at all. So now you become a one-pitch pitcher. And then if that one pitch is the fastball that's mid-90s and straight as a string, it doesn't sink, it doesn't cut, and then that has a little bit of command issues, it makes my at-bat a lot easier. Let's just put it that way. And Luke Jackson, when I saw him in Atlanta for all those years, had a nasty curveball, nasty slider, and that's how he was successful. So for whatever reason, whether it's an arm problem or a mechanical issue, he's not landing the off speed early in the count. So then I don't ever have to swing at it. But if he throws it early for a strike, then he bounces it late, I have to commit to it because he already showed me as a hitter that he can throw it for a strike. And he just not throwing it for a strike. He doesn't look confident. He looks rattled out there all the time. So it's just one of those things where he's in a big time funk. And I think, you know, you have to think about what situations you bring him into.
And you've got a little bit of a short bullpen, so what can you do to try to offset the fact that he is in a funk? You don't have a lot of options down in AAA. Is it just a thing where you don't put him into these higher leverage spots right now?
If you have a short bullpen, your starter's got to go deeper into the ballgame. I mean, it's that simple. Because the bullpen, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is leading the National League in innings.
Right.
So now you really got to lean on your starters, but who are you going to lean on? Because the starters are all banged up. So it's just not good. A 3 out of 4 is great. I mean, they won 3 out of 4. I mean, we don't always have to talk about the negative. They are playing better baseball. So, I mean, there are some good things to talk about.
There definitely are. And we're going to get to all of the things. I certainly want to know also what you made of where Blake Snell is, maybe mentally even. I know you've had some conversations with him. The fact that he is public in his frustration, has admitted that he's rushing back. We get it. The Giants need starters. But what was your take on that whole conversation?
I think where Blake Snell is, Mark, might be the million-dollar question, or the I don't even know how many million-dollar questions. Like,
32.
Where is Blake Snell?
Yeah.
I don't know where is he? where is Blake Snell? Is he at the ballpark? Is he on a rehab assignment? I don't know. I haven't seen him all year. I honestly don't know where Blake Snell is. I talked to him once in the beginning of the season on one of the charters. He seems like a nice guy, but I don't think Giants fans know where Blake Snell is. I don't think Giants fans have seen a lot of Blake Snell other than when he was with the Padres. So I apparently his legs weren't underneath him last time. I'm reading what you guys are reading about his last start. He's going to need, I would just say from a player's standpoint, that he's probably going to, he doesn't want to come back too soon and get injured again. And this whole year to this point has been a mess for him. There's no other way to put it. It's been a mess.
Yeah, it's been very tough to watch. And, you know, you had high hopes and you hope that Robbie Ray can come back soon and you get this rotation to where it needs to be. And how much does that make you think about an appreciation for Jordan Hicks, a guy who has been able to take the ball every 5 days and go out there and at least try to give you 5 good innings?
It was a nice bounce back for him today because I thought his start in St. Louis was really shaky. He didn't know where it was going. He almost hit a bunch of his old teammates and they were running on him. And it was like, did you really like those guys you used to play with for 5 years? Because he was trying to drill everybody in St. Louis. But it was a hot day and I don't know what was going on. He said he didn't feel his legs after 2 innings. The one thing about Jordan Hicks, he's not afraid to tell the media what's going on after the game, whether he was sick, whether he was tired, whether he just wasn't feeling great that start. You usually don't get all of that information from a pitcher after an outing. So we'll find out in a few minutes about today and how he felt. But I thought he rebounded nicely today. The one thing I will say, and it's not being negative, it's just the fact that the Giants have to stop the running game against them. I know there's a lot of things we can talk about. We could talk about their offense. You guys probably didn't see Jorge Soler had an at-bat with the winning run on third, and it was a 3-pitch Sia.
Yep.
Whether you get a hit there or not, I got to have a better at-bat out of you there. Like, foul off a couple of pitches. Get into the count a little bit more. Battle. If you strike out, you strike out. But a 3-pitch Sia on all 3 pitches, they didn't even start out strikes. Like, you paid that guy for that at-bat right there. So, you know, hitting's hard. It's the hardest thing in the world. And that guy's made more money than I'll ever make playing baseball or broadcasting. He's a good player. But, like, in that situation, that's why the Giants signed him. You got the winning run on third. It's the bottom of the eighth. And it's just 3 pitches and nothing's near. So that part's frustrating. The other thing is, for me, that there's 91 stolen bases against the Giants this year. And they've caught 18 of them. And you have one of the best throwing catchers in all of baseball in Patrick Bailey. And there was 3 more stolen bases today. So they were 3 for 3 against Casale today. But if you're going to be a winning team and you're going to play playoff baseball, you can't have that sort of percentage where you've stolen 25 bases and you've given up 91. So, like, these things have to change for this team to even think about playing October baseball, I think. And there's some good players that are underperforming right now, but like I said, 3 out of 4 is good. The Dodgers are coming to town. The Dodgers, the Braves, and the Indians. And of those three teams right now, the Indians might be the best team. And that's who's coming up. So when you're talking about the stolen bases and everybody running wild on this team, I mean, there has to be some adjustments made, and there has to be a way to stop these guys, whether it's using all of your throwovers or your disengagements or manipulating the clock or holding or not holding or slide steps. You got to give Patrick Bailey a chance. And right now the pitchers in general, and I don't want to single anybody out, but when you see those numbers, it is everybody, right? 91 stolen bases against, that's the most in the National League, and they've only caught 18 of them. Like, if you're going to win consistently, that's got to stop.
FP is with us. Giants lose 5-3. Hey, what did you think of Birdsong last night?
Otis? Did the Warriors draft Otis Birdsong today?
Kansas City Kings.
No, they're about to sign him to a two-way. But, no, I'm talking about only the third Hayden to ever appear in a Major League Baseball game.
And the other one pitched against him last night.
That's right.
It was the first time ever that two Haydens went against each other, which is like kind of indicative of what parents are naming their kids now, Hayden. So, I mean,
I know it's wild. I'm like, I know a bunch of Haydens. How have there only been three?
Yeah.
And then I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, none of them are over 50 years old. I don't think Hayden was a name before. It is now.
Whatever happened to Joey and Frankie and Tony pitching?
Exactly.
What's this, the Italian League?
Yeah, exactly. No, did you guys, my favorite part last night, did you see the close-ups of him talking to himself? Like, that fired me up.
Totally.
Like, he's throwing 98, right? And he's got the curve, and he's throwing the changeup for a strike, throw for a ball, and I guess fastball command is his bugaboo, but he was fine last night. What a great first start for him. But he had swagger, he had confidence, and he has Bird in his last name. And I was thinking about Fitterich, and I need more of that from my pitchers. I want to see him talking to the baseball. I want to see him saying, let's effing go. And you could read his lips a couple of times last night. Like, that's what gets me fired up about baseball. Like, have some personality out there. So last night, he deserved a better fate. But what a great first start for that kid. And I want to see more of him. I don't know about you guys. I can't wait till his next start.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's going to make that start because they have no other choice. And he pitched pretty well. And so you're not just going to bring him up for one start and send him back out. And I do want to give you your flowers for what you had said about Austin Slater before, because they kind of stood by him and only one hit today. But it sure looks to me, FP, like Austin Slater is starting to become much more like the player we expected him to be all along.
Well, he just got to get a chance to play and get confidence. He had a big at-bat late in the game where he struck out, but he was battling. I think it was a 10 or 11 pitch at-bat. And he struck out three times on Thursday, and I picked him in the post-game wrap because he got the sack fly. And when you've struck out three times and you come up, and the game always finds you, right, when you're having a bad day in a crucial situation, and you had a big sack fly. So I'm a fan of Austin Slater's. I think maybe because I've been in those shoes where you don't play a lot and then you go up there and everyone expects you, it's like a video game, to do well. And if you don't have a rhythm and you're not seeing 95 and your eyes aren't able to slow down velocity, on top of that, you get off to a slow start and then you start trying too hard. And baseball is not a try hard game. It's a try easy game. And you hear the noise, even though you don't hear the noise, you hear the grumblings in the stands. You hear somebody yelling like, we should trade you, Slater. I mean, you know all that stuff and you feel it. And you hear the murmurs when you strike out. And so, I don't know. I'm just rooting for him. He's been a good Giant for a long time. He got off to a slow start. He's always banged up. I don't know if it's bad luck or what, but I'd love to see him get going. He's got so much talent, man. I don't know if you guys have ever stood next to him. He's huge. He's
he's big guy.
Yep. He runs. He throws. He hits for power. He's got a lot of tools. And I think Bob's given him a little leeway starting him against righties, too.
Okay, so a little bit of leeway. That's my next question, FP. When Yaz gets healthy, is Matos in danger of being sent down again?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm digging both of those guys. You guys are doing a show, so you probably weren't fine focused today. Luis did butcher a ball in right field where he took a couple of steps in and it went over his head.
Yep.
It was a loud sound off the bat of Suzuki, and it was a bad read. So he's got a lot of work to do on his defense for me. I think Elliott, on the other hand, is a real good defender, and he's showing all of us that he can play center field. And he has his hiccups every now and then. But, like, to me, guys, I don't want to sound old. Like, defense is about work, and it's about going out there every day early and working on your jumps. in as a center fielder, sometimes you get in these funks, and I used to get into them where you take a jab step instead of just breaking the ball. And it's like, it's almost like a hitch in your swing where you take that first left foot in and you take a jab step. And at the highest level, when it's coming at you 110 miles an hour, if you do that, you're done. So what you do is you just get out there in a good, like, kind of a tailback stance, if you use a football term, on your toes. And for one group, you just take a hard step or two steps to wherever the ball is. So if it's hit to my right, say it's hit down the left field line, I'm standing in center field. I get in that stance, I just take one, two, and I go that way. And if it's hit down the right field line and I have no chance of catching it, I just get in my stance, and as soon as it hits the bat, I go one, two, that way. And what it does is if you do that enough in batting practice, it erases that little negative step, that false step. And now all of a sudden you're getting good jumps on the baseball. So just little tricks and just working and going out there every day and power shagging for a group. It really doesn't take that much. And it's not like these guys are playing in the Midwest where it's 97 degrees. They have the luxury of 65 degrees every day to go out early when they're in the homestand and really work their asses off to where it's not going to take away from their performance during the game. If you're in the Midwest or you're in the South and it's summertime and it's July and it's 96 degrees and you go out for early work, that can ruin you for the whole day. Like, you can get dehydrated. You can spend all your energy in batting practice. But these guys are playing in a cooler over here. So, like, for me, whenever I got in those funks, I would just power shag for a whole group in center field until I got the jumps that I felt comfortable with, almost like practicing your hitting. But this is where I always start to sound old when I come on with you guys. A lot of guys like to hit in the cage now. And when you're hitting in the cage, you are honing your swing, but you're not shagging on defense. You're not power shagging during batting practice. You're not running all over and getting the feel of the wind currents today, or, you know, the temperature and the ball carrying today, or what the elements are like, on top of honing your skills. I remember Rob Nen came over to me when I was with the Giants, and he said, all the pitchers love you because we watch you work hard in center field every day. Like, you're always working on your jumps and your routes out here. And he goes, nobody else is. So when we're on the mound, we feel comfortable with you in center field because we know you put the hay in the barn. I just don't know if there's that much emphasis in today's game on that part of the game.
Interesting. That's really interesting, because I know that if he doesn't stay, people are going to get really upset. But that side of the game is, you're right, like, no one's even watching that right now. I don't think fans are paying much attention to that. We want OPS, and that's about all we're looking at. So interesting stuff. Buddy, thanks as always. Great talking to you.
All right, guys, get back to 7-footers that the Warriors drafted that are 3-point shooters.
That's right. That's what we're doing.
Their last name is Post, but they don't play the post. They shoot 3-pointers.
Correct.
I'm ready for
that's
that.
That's a good one, FP. That's an FP original right there. That's a real zinger. That's a five, FP.
I got them, didn't I? That's a hot take.
You guys
put that
awesome.
Right on your Twitter. Put that on
for
your
sure.
Twitter right now.
Hashtag FP Zinger.
All right, I'll see you guys.
All right, see you, buddy. I'm going to go tweet that right now. Can you talk for a little bit? I'm going to tweet.
No doubt. FP with a good, solid rib tickler right there.
I apologize, Dibs, okay?
All right. It was a grandiose ridge.
Well, by the way,
we're back.
What was your one the other day that you had to say like 18 times and you were so mad that people wouldn't laugh at it?
There was a couple of them. Well, you were talking about two birds.
What I'm talking about, Grandy. What was the one that did? He texted it.
Well, the one that got him mad at me based on my reaction was his Nick Ahmed.
Right.
One.
Can I get an Ahmed?
Yeah.
All right. You did cut. Can I get an Ahmed?
Genius.
And
it was timely.
Grandy was like, this guy's name. What's his name? Spencer? What's his first name? Post? What's his first
Quentin
name?
Quentin Post.
He said his name should be Quentin Perimeter.
Really good.
That's funnier.
It's better than I get an Ahmed?
It is.
Yeah.
But the timely nature of my text, we all were watching the Giants game. Ahmed hits his first home run.
Yeah.
Can I get an Ahmed?
Can I get an Ahmed? It was
and Captain
solid.
Wet Blanket's like, that's a three.
Probably a three is a positive.
A three is that's like a par.
I'm not out here trying to scratch out pars.
Well,
it's not the U.S. Open.
It's not a bogey. Like,
a lot of times, birdie.
Like, remember when Farhan was like, do I get the Medal of Freedom because I did multiple deals?
Right.
That no one would be like, that's a three. That was a negative one.
That was an absolute bomb.
That was a bust.
Yes.
Yours was a par. Like, his okay. was a triple bogey.
Disagree. No. Thought it was better than
yours
that.
Yours is a par. Granny's was a birdie. It was a birdie. It was a bird song.
Especially because nobody had ever heard of Quentin Post, and right. the fact that he's a perimeter player, that's good. I give you a solid 4.
Yeah.
Downgraded to a 3 because we're in a fight.
There you go.
Okay, well, you know, Ahmed's down to a 2. Yeah. So there you go.
Till Monday when I need you again, and it goes back to up to a 4.
Take that. All right. Don't forget about the Warriors Offseason Summit. Thank you to all of you who have already gone to 957thegame.com to reserve your free spot. I would suggest the rest of you who haven't, you should do that because space is limited. July 8th, okay? This is a week from Monday. Dibs and I will be starting at 2 o'clock, but then all the hosts join us from 4 to 6. Fremont Bank, 39150 Fremont Boulevard in Fremont, space limited. So reserve your free spot. Just go to 957thegame.com. 888-957-9570. I got into, I don't know if it was a text argument, but there was a text exchange between me and the lovely Christy.
Uh-oh.
And Christy agreed with the last caller that thought that the Bronny James thing was really cool and that if Steph Curry did something like this, the Warriors would immediately acquiesce. I could give you the back and forth in the text, but rather than that, let me skip to the end.
Okay.
Steph would never do that. And that's my point.
I don't know about that. Cannon's only 5, so it's easy to say that.
He would never do that. Steph has never done any. In fact, if you want to criticize Steph, and this is what Stephen A. was getting at a few months ago, is that the opposite is true. Sometimes you need to poke Steph and be like, dude, do you understand how much power you have? You could be the alpha leader in the room. But not him. That's not the way he wants to operate. And should he be, could he be, that's not even what I'm getting at. He would never think of putting himself, and this is the way I view it with LeBron, you can call it a good show, you can call it interesting. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the Lakers drafted Bronny James. They've handed their organization over to their best player, even though he's 40. So You can say whatever you want. This is interesting, and it's fun, and it's quirky, and father-son. Who's not into that? I get it. I got a heart. I'm into all that stuff, too. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is LeBron James just put his own interests ahead of the team. Nobody is saying, wow, this is cool, because Bronny might really help the Lakers. No one's saying that. Everyone's saying it's cool because they're related. That means you put your quirky family desires ahead of the interests of the team. And that, to me, is not okay. And I don't think Steph Curry would ever even consider doing something like that unless Cannon was a damn stud who he thought was going to come in and help the team win.
Well, I wonder if Damian Lee doesn't break free his brother-in-law, if he doesn't bring him in for that family connection, go ahead and bring him back or get Seth back in the fold. I mean, we don't yet know. He's not in the same position that LeBron is right now, where LeBron has a son who is NBA eligible. Whether or not he's NBA ready, none of us really know. From what I've seen of him as a player, I don't think so. And I made this comment about 6 months ago, if his name was Mike Smith or Mark Robinson or whatever made-up name you want to throw out there, and you watch the player and you watch what he did at USC, a triple single and not even close to double digits in any of those categories, and guys coming off cardiac arrest, unfortunately, which is a scary thing that happened to him, but yep. It's a part of his resume, unfortunately. It's only because his name is Bronny and his last name is James that he's in that spot. But I do think it's mostly harmless that they used a second round pick to bring him in.
Well, listen,
I think it's a neat story. Team Christy.
I'm a Warriors fan. I couldn't give a rip what the Lakers do with their second round pick.
Well, and your
pick.
Reaction was perfect as a Warrior fan,
it's
which
hysterical.
Was an absolute gut-busting laugh. And I'm with you.
No, are you with me, though? Steph would not do this. You say Steph's not in this position. I disagree with that in a way. I know what you mean, that he doesn't have a son.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know
Steph
if he would.
Steph does have this kind of power if he chose to use it. But he's not going to do that because that would be putting interests that have nothing to do with winning ahead of winning. And I don't think...
I agree with
that. I think...
But I do think that he exerts his power more than we think.
Well,
more
sure
than
he
we
does.
Know.
I'm sure he does.
And I would look at the Draymond extension as an example. I'm sure he was able to weigh in on that.
I got it on pretty good authority, and I don't even think I need the authority to say this. I think that all of you who know how the NBA works, you already know this. For all of the people, I can't believe that the Warriors let Draymond Green punch that kid, and then all of a sudden his career's ruined, and then they traded him. Who do you think greenlit that?
That trade of Jordan Poole?
You think they didn't talk to Steph Curry about that?
And Clay and Draymond and Steve Kerr?
You
and,
think that was
right.
all just like...
No, of course not.
Okay.
Of course not.
Okay. This dude wants to win. I can promise you also that if Klay Thompson leaves, while that's his decision, Steph has been updated on this at every level. This dude looks like the sweetest, kindest thing on earth. He is an absolute competitive killer. There's no question about that.
And to that point, do you think that they've asked Steph about the idea of a reunion with KD, playing with Jimmy Butler, or bringing in Paul George?
Yes, they've asked him about all of it.
Exactly.
And much more.
Right.
And in a way, forget the TV show, The Decision, and all this stuff. I think this is actually one of the biggest criticisms that people could ever throw at LeBron James. He just put his family ahead of winning. That's wild to me.
I think it's a little bit over dramatizing it, but again, we can go back and forth on the value of a second round pick, but the optics of it, it feels like LeBron had a hand in this pick. Is that too hot for you?
That was wow. Boy, nothing gets by you.
Thank you.
We're sponsored by KTVU's Fox Local streaming app for your connected TV. Live stream mornings on 2, the 10 o'clock news, and all Fox 2 newscasts. Plus, watch Like It or Not and more. Fox Local, free and easy to use. No subscription required. We'll keep going with your calls. 888-957-9570. Ramona Shelburne in a half hour. It's Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, this just the day just got funny. It just got funny. That's all. That's all. We started out by talking about the It's Over crowd for the Warriors. There's been a lot on the margins that has developed during our show. The Warriors bought back the 52nd pick, which they traded earlier today to Oklahoma City, and then picked Quentin Post, a 7-footer who can shoot, out of Boston College. And then after the draft ended, they signed somebody from Virginia with a bunch of E's in his name. What was his name? What was the guy from Virginia? It's not Hasheem Thabeet.
Reese Beekman?
There it is. Reese Beekman. All right.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Great on-ball defender, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Two-way contract.
The big news, though, is, or not big news, but I think the thing that matters is this hard caps them on the second apron. So now the Warriors are living in a hard cap world for this year and what their salary is, their structure is. So I'm much more interested in what this means for their flexibility, their right. financial flexibility. What can they do at a higher level? And this all sets up tomorrow, which is the news about Chris Paul. Do they waive him? Do they opt into his contract? Is that precursor to a trade? The Klay Thompson signing, I would argue, seems even less likely today than it did yesterday.
Depending on what they do.
Yeah.
Just hearing you talk about how they are now hard capped, I can see Joe Lacob in his office talking to Mike Dunleavy and his staff saying, guys, you got to do whatever you can do to take the temptation away from me. You got to make it so I have no choice.
I know.
Stop
right?
tempting me to get above that second apron. Mm-hmm. I need somebody to help me. Push me away from the table. I don't want another dessert. I can't go in to that second apron again. Please, guys, help me. How do we hard cap this so I can't go over 189.5?
Save me from myself.
Totally.
I know. Yeah, you might be right. I'll also say this. This was a little under the radar, I thought. The whole Klay Thompson conversation has been about Klay's mental side, Klay's anger. You and I got into it big time about angry Klay yesterday, and I don't have any interest in having angry Klay back on the team. I'd love if there's a way for Klay Thompson to play for the Warriors, but not angry Klay. And that's the guy I saw play basketball last year. I don't think that's healthy for him. I don't think it's healthy for the Warriors. In reading about everything Klay Thompson related, I noticed this, and I think it was from Zach Lowe. Zach Lowe said, for Klay Thompson to return to the Warriors, there are some hurt feelings on both sides that need to be addressed. That's the first time I've heard it phrased that way. I think we all understand that Klay's mad. Klay's been mad. Klay continues to be mad. He went and hit the unfollow button
totally
on Instagram. He's that mad. Apparently, at least according to one report, so are the Warriors. I wonder what that's even all about. That's interesting to me. I don't know anybody else who said that the Warriors are upset about something Klay Thompson related, whether it be over the last year or because of conversations that have taken place recently, one or the other or both.
Yeah, and I do think that, you know, almost everything is mendable in relationships. You know, there's certain things that you do or you get to, and it's like, okay, that we can't fix that. I don't know if what Klay and the Warriors have done with and to each other would be beyond mending. I think that if that was the case, you would hear different news reports, different leaks about where the status is of the possible contract. And all we know is that it doesn't seem like there's been a contract that's been put in front of him of late, and that, you know, we know what he's done on social media, and we know that he's going to test free agency. I don't think that in 2 weeks from now, when we circle back and he's unsigned potentially, and they still have a spot for a guy to make 15 or 16 million and they can stay under that second apron where they're now hard capped, I don't know that they can't then at that point sit down and say, look, Let's let bygones be bygones. You said some things. I said some things. Let's see if we can make it work.
No, it's certainly within the realm of possibility.
Right.
I'm not X-ing it out. I think we feel like we're on a road where, and I didn't think we would ever get here, to be honest with you. I didn't know for sure that Klay Thompson would stay or whatever. But I just feel like without X-ing out any of the possibilities, I do feel like we've arrived at a spot where staying is a lot more complex than leaving. And that's surprising to me. But it feels like the road to Klay Thompson returning is very complex. It's very emotional. It's just going to be potentially too difficult to make it happen. You know, because now it's not just emotions. Now you're getting into math. Now you're getting into math. You're getting into improvement. You've just probably arrived at a spot where two sides don't have the same goals. And it's unfortunate that has led to a hurting of feelings as well.
Well, and a lot of times that's the way it goes. When you have a player who's making 43.2 and he's playing a certain way and you have to have a team meeting to talk about how he's maybe shooting too much and hunting his shot, and he had a two-year and $48 million deal that he turned down, and you get through the year and there's ups and downs and you're a 10 seed and now you get in the offseason and that two-year $48 million deal is now maybe 2 and 30. And he doesn't even want to hear that. And you're the team saying, well, geez, Clay, well, you're a 10 seed and you didn't have your best year. And we got to figure something out around the perimeter. We can't just add, you know, Lindy Waters and Quentin Post. And we're going to have to do more than that, Clay. And so we're going to have you wait. And so I'm sure there's hurt feelings on both sides.
Ramona Shelburne in 20 minutes. We've got big questions. She's always got a lot of answers. She is very, very dialed in. Also, Bronny James is officially a Laker. Social media is alive with this. Bronny was just quoted in recent days as saying, quote, "This is a serious business, and I don't think there would be a thought that I'm just drafting this kid because of his dad." That was actually said by Bronny James. So I'm going to take that as backing to what I'm saying right now. I think it's hysterical. I'm not upset in the slightest, but I think it's hysterical that the Lakers actually did this because of what he just said. This is a serious business, except for one team. For one team, it's not. It's not serious business. Apparently, and I love the number of Laker fans who are now parading around doing things that they've never done before, and our own Joe Spadoni is one of them. He's on social media laughing at the second round as if it doesn't matter, which has largely been a point you've been throwing out there as well. I think it's hysterical that a fan would be okay with their basketball team conducting themselves as such in the second round. Like, come on, y'all, this doesn't even matter. Why are we even doing this? Good Lord. And you're backing that. You're excusing that behavior as a fan. It's fine if, as a fan, you think the second round is pointless. But if my team is actually treating it that way, it's the most unprofessional thing I've ever seen in the NBA.
Unless the player turns out to be a useful NBA player in 3 to 5 years. And you don't know that he won't be.
I don't. And I agree with you that if the Lakers actually went through a process and they actually assessed that and believed that, then good on them. I'd argue that if you believe that the Lakers did that, I got all kinds of stuff to sell you.
There might be a piece of that, and they definitely went out of their way to deter other teams from taking him. And the reports were that Rich Paul was telling teams ahead of the Lakers today, he'll go to Australia. He won't play for you if you draft him.
Bob Myers said it on ESPN.
Rich Paul's calling teams, don't take Bronny James. He's telling them, do not take him, okay? Saying, don't take him. If you take him, he's going to Australia. So he has a plan and he has a place.
But he's not telling the Lakers.
I don't know if he's telling one team.
Mark Tatum.
All right, so not only was Rich Paul doing it, he also called Bob Myers and said, say this on ESPN. The whole thing is an absolute sideshow.
It's a little farcical, for sure.
It's absurd.
Well, and again, there's more value than just what he can contribute on the floor. There's value in the father-son storyline, picture day, and all the media of LeBron and his son. And I joked earlier about them doing a simultaneous powder toss before the first game, and there are a lot of things that are theatrical and marketing that make this move worthwhile for the Lakers.
No, see, here, and pardon me for this.
But you're welcome.
As someone who actually worked on the Laker flagship station for 7 years.
Randy?
Please. Let me say something. Those of you who want to say that, and we just got a text, the top text on our board, 408. Is the pick a joke? Yes, but it's good business for the Lakers. It's drama and it's entertainment. It's not good sports, but it's good business. It's what you just said, and I agree with both of you. Here's the problem. The Lakers have never conducted themselves that way before. I know you think they have because they've always been aware of Hollywood and entertainment. Jerry Buss was very good with that. The Laker girls, and we could go on and on.
The Laker girls.
The Forum Club. Like, I get it. They've always been aware of that. They don't let that lead them. That organization has clearly stated for years they are about nothing but championships. And now a lot of you seem to think that it makes sense that they're out here going, waka, waka, waka! We can throw powder in the air at the same time. Isn't that amazing?
That'll be a cool one.
And you guys are all like, yeah, makes sense. That's not what the Lakers are about. And if you're a Warrior fan, you'd be livid if the Warriors behaved that way. If they walked out here at Chase Center and went, look, we're trying to hang on. Our guys are a little old, but tell you what, we're bringing clowns in Warrior uniforms, and they're going to sit in each seat and massage you while you watch the game. You'd be like, what is this? What are we doing? Are we trying to win, or are we trying to be on Twitter? What are we doing right now?
You're talking about a guy who might be the 15th man on the team. This is not a core player. You didn't expend a lot of assets to bring this guy. That is the point.
It's not the point.
This is a big nothing move. It's a second round pick that are mostly misses anyway. And I'm looking at the 2019 draft, and you look at second round picks. There were 30 of them made. 23 of them you've never heard of. There were some hits in there.
So try to get the 7 out of 30.
And they did.
No,
with a good little young point guard with upside.
You call him local kid. Little. Local
it's a good little
kid.
Player. Local kid. It's a good local story, Mark.
It's brutal.
You got to skew local always.
Listen, don't call me a hater. I love it. I'm partying tonight. The Lakers are a sham. They're a total sham. Leo in the city. Hi, Leo. What are you doing?
Boy, listening to this emotional rant coming out of you, Willard. Wow, you are fired up on this one.
Thank you.
Real quick, I want to say something real quick here about the implication of the Lakers were serious back in the day and not so much. Just real quickly, and I don't want a response to it because I want to say something about Bronny. I think the Lakers paid Kobe a boatload of money when he was way past his prime, and he ends up blowing out his Achilles, and pretty much his career was over. So, they do take the entertainment into consideration when they're making decisions like that. But anyway, regarding...
With one of the greatest players of all time. But anyway, go ahead.
Who
go
was
ahead.
Already
Continue.
Washed to his point, yeah. And your team was terrible, and you paid him all that money because that's all you had. It's a great point.
Okay, it's not. But anyway, go ahead. I was there covering the team when that happened, and there's all kinds of reasons for it that I could explain to you. But go ahead, Leo. Go ahead.
That's fine. I'm talking about that as an outsider looking in. That's all. No, I don't want to debate that.
Yeah. All good.
The facts with Bronny, before the heart incident, he was a 5-star high school McDonald's All-American. He was projected by all the top mock drafts to be a late first-round pick. There were actually 9 guards taken before him in this draft, and I'm not sure what else the Lakers were going to do in terms of a second-round pick. He was the 55th pick, not the 5th pick. And there really wasn't anyone after him that made much sense. I guess you could say, the Suns took McCullough out of Kansas after him, and McCullough's a good player. But, like any other second-round pick, whether it was a small guard like K.J. Simpson out of CU or Jamal Sneed out of Houston was a small guard, both smaller than Bronny. They were taken way before Bronny. It's basically a crapshoot. And, Bronny has some talent to dismiss his talent and just say out of pocket that you know, basically, this is all about nepotism, I think, is a little off target given the facts of who he is as a player. And speaking about nepotism, and I'm not saying this in a negative way, but just to say that nepotism, you know, throughout, in terms of what we look at, nepotism exists in so many different varieties.
Of course it does. I don't argue that, Leo. Kirk Lacob was on the show earlier today. I'm not even going to use that word for it because he's done a very, very good job. Leo, thank you. But the bottom line is, yeah, I think he knew a guy when he was interviewing for the job. Like, of course it exists. And I'm not even arguing that we shouldn't, as people, take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of you however they're presented. That's not even what I'm getting at. I very much take issue with the idea that you think Bronny was this five-star recruit and that didn't have to do with his name as well. Of course it did. Of course it did. Bronny at no point has performed like one of the top prospects in the nation, at no point, even before college. And beyond that, I can't get over the idea of how many of you think NBA teams just kick second round picks as if they don't exist. The Warriors have conducted trades that have been based on second round picks being acquired in the other direction just in recent years. You think teams think that's not a real asset? It doesn't matter that it's unlikely. All draft picks are unlikely. But they're an asset, and you don't just kick them, and that's clearly what the Lakers just did.
A lot of teams do the classic draft and stash, which is akin to kicking it. Would it
it's
bother
not kicking
you?
It. It's taking it someone you, that you think might project out.
Right.
I don't
the
think
Warriors took Justinian Jessup and a guy
were
who
wrong.
Right. And so that was a classic draft and stash. You weren't trying to draft a guy who you thought was going to be ready right now.
No, but you were trying
it was
to
a
draft
prospect.
You were trying to draft someone that you thought had a chance to be good. I don't believe the Lakers believe that.
If they
at all.
If they wouldn't have drafted him, if he would have just signed as an undrafted free agent, would that bother you less? No, I'm not saying that this is actually bothering you because we're doing a show.
Less, yeah, I don't care. I love this.
Right, but if they just the Warriors have already made a move like that.
Yeah,
the Warriors have already signed a guy in a two-way deal.
I mean, less, I would still think it ridiculous. Bronny James has not done anything to warrant being on an NBA roster right now other than being named Bronny James. And that is a fact, Jack. And I don't care that the Lakers did this. However, to me, it speaks of two things. It speaks of LeBron James, the individual, putting his family over winning. And it speaks to the Lakers organization for the first time in my lifetime being run in an opposite direction, not being run by the people who are actually in charge. And I've never seen this before.
Well, the people who are actually in charge are not the same people that built the Showtime Lakers. The one guy has passed away, and the other guy has turned Miami into a perennial competitor, if not a champion.
Right, but the Buss family is still in place. This goes through from Mitch Kupchak, the Rambis family, Jeannie Buss, Johnny Buss, all that. They're all like, yes,
they're
there's
a lineage. They're not Jerry, and they're not Pat Riley.
But Jerry Buss has been out of power for a long time and not with us now for a long time.
Absolutely.
There's a lineage there, and the Lakers have never been run this way. I don't know that any NBA team has ever been run this way.
That's a unique team because
you know,
they
should
be
the last one to run this way.
Well, they run it this way for two clear reasons, and you work there, so you know the ins and outs far better than I or far better than anyone in this market, but the glitz and glamour and the Showtime appeal is a huge thing in LA, and people turn out for Laker games far more than they do for Dodger games based on the star power.
Sure.
You go to Dodger games because it's affordable and you like baseball. And turns out they now are really, really exciting and really, really good. But the Dodgers have always drawn because of the population in LA and the fact that that product has always been much more affordable. The Lakers have drawn because of marquee value and pow, look at this guy and look at that guy.
Okay.
And this plays right into that.
No, it doesn't, because they've always been about star power that wins. That's the star power. They've never been
for
about,
for the most part.
Like, this is minor league. This is what minor league baseball teams do. This is, hey, it's like, if somebody, if the three strikeouts in the seventh inning, it's free beers for everyone. This is that kind of glitz and glamour. This is not about winning basketball games. And so I stand by everything that Steph Curry would never do this, and the Warriors organization would never do this. They would never do this, and I would lose respect for them if they did.
Well, you do remember, and I'm sure you were there at the time, when the Lakers went six straight years with no playoff berth.
Yes.
And that was based, a lot of it was on the Kobe Bryant factor, because he was past his prime, and they gave him a boatload of money, because that's all you had.
That was the last 2 years. Prior to that, he just didn't have any help around him, and it's not easy. I'm not saying you win every year. Nobody does.
Yeah.
But you try, and you aren't governed by sideshows. I mean, let's go there. You think Kobe would have done this? You think Kobe Bryant, if he had ever had a son, that guy was so maniacal about winning. I mean, he did go to the Olympics and punch Pau Gasol in the face on the first play, his own teammate. He was so maniacal about winning. If he had a son who would average 5 points a game at USC, you think he would have been like, be really cool to play with my son? Or do you think he would have been like, you know what's best for you, dog? Sophomore year. That's totally what's best for you. That's what I think Kobe would have done.
They are cut from a different cloth.
You're damn right
there's
they
nobody
are.
Who, I don't know if there's anybody who you could ever look at who is cut from that cloth like Kobe.
And I would argue so is Steph Curry. So is Steph Curry. He never would do this. It's crazy to me how many people are defending this based on the idea that it's like, 55th pick,
it's
whatever.
It's a second round pick.
I mean, then, well, why don't we just do that all the time? Let's just pick funny people who, like, could show up and get an audience.
Why, a lot of teams do that.
Why didn't the Warriors pick Kevin Hart? He does commercials with Steph Curry. Would have been amazing. I'd love to go to that practice.
They have made Kevin Hartian type selections throughout their history in the second round.
They have?
Many teams have.
No, those
look at
are
a lot of these second round picks, and you're drafting some Turkish 6'10" guy who never shows
those
up.
Those are bad picks. They're not sideshows. They're not in an effort to build some other story that's got nothing to do with hoops.
This is a good, solid international local project who maybe could pan out.
This is one of those moments that I wish that the people listening could
you?
See your face so they knew that you were just being sarcastic.
I'm being pretty sarcastic, but at the same time, I do think that the business, the marketing, and the potential for him to actually turn into a player, it's there.
Yeah.
And, you know,
this is a great text we just got. This is Michael Jordan to the White Sox. It's exactly what it is. This is a sideshow. Let's get some people in the building.
He will have a better career in the association than Michael did in, what was that, Double A?
I think it was Double A, the Barons, Birmingham Barons. Yeah.
He'll have a bigger impact on the Lakers than Mike did in minor league baseball.
Waka, waka, waka! Woo! We got two guys that are related. Woo! I mean, it's great. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. The Lakers are being run by the circus in the back. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We got some real questions to ask about the Golden State Warriors, about Klay Thompson, about Paul George, about the second apron. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN joins us next on Willard and Dibbs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.